I was consumed with insecurity and all of the emotions that were connected to that. I was very much so. But if you play the tape back, as I was asking questions, I realized that they didn't know me that well, and therefore they did not see the value that I had to offer.
Hey, it's Julie. Welcome to Uncomfy, a show about sticking with moments that challenge us. You know, every single day I encounter ideas or people or situations that make me a little uncomfortable. And not in the I'm in danger kind of way, but more like, I really disagree, or this is way outside my comfort zone. But if I bail out or lash out in that moment, I might miss a chance to learn something, or feel new empathy, or deepen a relationship. So the question is how, right? Well, that's what this podcast is about. Real people telling real stories of choosing to stay open and curious in challenging moments. I'm glad you're here. Now, let's get uncomfy. Have you ever thought about conflict as a good thing? I'm joined by Hélène Bienduttihofer. She is a conflict navigator, a broadcast journalist, and she's co-founder of the consulting firm Good Conflict, which trains people and organizations to reimagine conflict. Hélène, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Julie. It's great to be here, and I love the concept of this podcast.
It's definitely a space that you live in, because
yes,
we all know that conflict is the ultimate in uncomfy. So I'm excited to tap into your expertise. But I would love to know just a little more about you, because you talk about in your bios your great-grandmother as a major inspiration for the work that you do. So tell us about her.
Yeah. So my great grandma in Coco is from the Congo. My father is from Kinshasa, which is the capital of the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. And for those who like to get a sense of where place is in geography. And she was really the storyteller of the family. She was the collector of history and was the one that my father described her as, the one who was able to just capture what was happening in the world and our community and our family story. And not just the one who captured those stories, but was the fascinating teller of those stories. And I think the reason why I'm so connected to her is because that storytelling translated to my father, and then that translated to me. And my father was very much not only a storyteller, but he was also the kind of person that when people were struggling, when there was pain, was one who was very much able to tell stories in a way to bring a sense of healing and understanding. And I found that to be so captivating, especially as a kid, when it comes to the power of storytelling.
The beautiful connection here is that, because I too, you know, being a journalist, it's about telling stories. It's what I love about this work, but also the idea that, I mean, your father was using stories, your grandmother, great-grandmother was using stories in a different way. It wasn't just to entertain. It wasn't just to inform. And certainly journalists do more than just entertain and inform. But there's this deeper level that connects really beautifully to the work you do now as a conflict navigator. So how do stories, I guess, help or hurt in conflict scenarios?
That's a great question. And I can clearly remember, Julie, it was 2018, and I'm sitting in my living room, and I was hosting and producing a PBS program at the time, and I can remember just sitting there and thinking to myself, I don't think that the stories that we're covering are helping people in this community the way that we have intended for them to help people, to bring change, for people to have some sense of hope and to feel seen and reflected in the stories in a way in which I don't think that they felt that. And it wasn't that, and I don't, there were some stories I'm very proud of, and I'm grateful that I had the opportunity to do them. But there were some that I covered, and I was told that I caused more pain and harm, and that was not the intent. And I can remember sitting there thinking, I don't know if this really isn't what I signed up to do. And a few months later, I read this article that was written by a journalist by the name of Amanda Ripley, and it was called Complicating the Narratives. And she wrote it in partnership with the Solutions Journalism Network. And I told Amanda this, I felt like I was in church on Sunday. as I was reading that story, because I literally was like, hallelujah, like yes and amen as I was reading it. Yes, we are oversimplifying things. Yes, we are painting people as one thing and they are not a monolith. Why are we doing that? And it shifted so much for me as a journalist. And I did leave that position and I joined forces with the Solutions Journalism Network. And we took Amanda's Complicating the Narratives piece and turned it into a training program and eventually trained journalists around the world.
So it's a way of telling stories that actually can, stories do have the power to do what you were talking about that your father was so good at doing, healing and yes. bringing hope and helping kind of shift a focus of a community towards solutions. But it's all in the telling. It's in
exactly
it's in this idea.
Exactly.
Including and more than maybe just the black and white or the binary or the sort of like everything's terrible or just focusing on the conflict.
Correct. A way of telling stories so that people feel seen in all of their complexity. And they may not like the story in the end, but they can say, I actually learned something that I didn't know about the situation, about this other group that I had so many assumptions about, or I learned something about myself that I didn't know before. And that's really the goal.
Yeah. I'm about to jump out of my skin here because you're telling my story, Helen. I too had a very similar, around the very same time, sort of realization that it doesn't feel like I'm making the world better in the ways that I would like to be as a journalist. And maybe I got to go do a different career. What am I going to do here? And I encountered writing a piece by Amanda Ripley. It was one of the very same pieces that she's written a couple over the years that have appeared in the Washington Post. I think one that I encountered was maybe a few years later, and then I went back and kind of read all the other ones, and two felt like, okay, the choir is singing. Like, this is it. Yes, I get it. Like, I get it now. And had the opportunity to create, to stop my daily radio interviewing and create a podcast that would try to tell stories in a more nuanced way. And that's what I've been doing for the last couple of years. Listeners of Uncomfy may know that I have another podcast. It's called Top of Mind, which I've been doing for several years. And this podcast sprung out of that, recognizing how challenging it can be to hear a complicated story or to be in a complicated environment and not really wanting to sort of stay in that discomfort, right?
Yes.
So you actually ended up partnering with Amanda Ripley then, if we fast forward a couple of years after the Solutions Journalism Network work that you were doing. And you two are the co-founders of this organization, Good Conflict. And you are training people to what exactly?
Training people to reimagine conflict. We want people to understand that conflict in and of itself is not a bad thing. We actually need healthy conflict for change. Right. If you think back, if you look back, if we kind of take a step back and look through history, when monumental, important changes happened, there was conflict at play. And when we think and kind of reflect on our own lives, when we recognize, wow, like this shift needed to happen or this pivot needed to take place, it was probably really uncomfortable. And there may have been a little bit of tension or conflict, but on the other side of it, it was the change that we really needed in the end. And so we want people to think about it in different ways and to recognize that if we have the right tools and skills, the right vocabulary, some of the right strategies, we can use conflict for our good.
Yeah. And you have a new masterclass that gives people kind of the quick and easy lowdown on it online. So we'll point people to that in our show notes. I would love to hear a story, Helen. Tell me about a time when you had to choose, when you had to choose to stay uncomfortable and you really like would like to have done the other thing in the moment.
Ooh, Julie, I've got the story and I can like feel it. I can feel it now as I'm recalling what happened. So we were on a Zoom call, and by we, I'm talking about Amanda and I. We were on a Zoom call with a potential client to talk through a proposal. They were insistent that there was this project that they had. We were just the right people for this project. And we felt that it was out of our wheelhouse. And they insisted in each of those conversations, no, you two, you are the ones that we want. However, on this particular call that we had with them, something changed. They no longer thought that they needed the two of us. They only needed one. and the person that they needed was not me.
Did they say that outright? Hey, Helen, sorry, you're not the one.
No, and that was the thing. All of a sudden, in a very subtle way, and this is what made it so uncomfortable, they suddenly directed the conversation toward Amanda. And they said, Amanda, you know, we're going to make sure that this is, in so many words, this will be as smooth as butter for you. We will make sure that you have everything that you need. You know, don't worry, we can set up additional calls with you. We've got you covered. Amanda was very uncomfortable. I know her, so I could tell by the look on her face, she was very uncomfortable with this. This was not okay for her. I was uncomfortable. You could feel the tension.
It was like you weren't there.
I wasn't there. And that was to be present and then to be so obviously ignored. That is a difficult thing. And I thought, okay, I have a choice. I could ignore this, which isn't really something that I would normally do. I could get stuck in my feelings, which probably wouldn't be helpful. Or I could do the thing that we teach people to do at Good Conflict. And that is to get curious and inquire and try to understand what's underneath their thinking, like what's happening. So underneath it all, while they didn't say this, I realized that there was a familiarity they had with my colleague that they didn't have with me, which was understandable. And they weren't familiar also with the two of us working together. That was brand new. They hadn't had any interactions or trainings with both of us. And they didn't know me that well, and therefore they did not see the value that I had to offer. And so
how did you figure that out in that moment when I would have been feeling like I'm not good enough or how dare they or, you know, what have I done wrong? Like I would have been so consumed with all of that insecurity and anger and frustration that like I'm just dying to know how you got to that information to be able to see, they don't know me.
First of all, let me be very clear. I was consumed with insecurity and all of the emotions that were connected to that. I was very much so. But if you play the tape back, as I was asking questions, I realized that their initial outreach was to Amanda. And Amanda explained, you know, the setup. Here's what we do at Good Conflict. Here's how we work. They had initially asked for her to do a keynote. And she said, but we can also do this training. And I have this great colleague and we work together and they were super excited. And so this makes a lot of sense to me. And we wanted to explain to them, and it was hard. It's hard for people to see it if they haven't experienced it. Here's what we bring together as a team. Here's why we love working together. And that was the thing that I wanted to be able to do in the moment and to think quick and to try to do that. So I asked them, I said, okay, did any of you play an instrument as a kid? And one person said they played the violin. And I said, okay, I played the trumpet. And I played the trumpet in jazz band in high school. And so I shared this story with them about how in jazz band, we didn't just play for high school concerts. We would play at all these different venues throughout the city for special events. And when we played special events, my jazz band teacher would do something a little different. So instead of the usual trumpet solo that he would have me do, or the saxophone solo with one of the major saxophone players, he would have us perform songs that involved duets. So I would partner up with the sax on several songs. Two different instruments, two different sounds, harmonize, and make beautiful music together. And I was trying to tell them the story and explain to them that my colleague and I are very different. We have very different backgrounds, very different career experiences, also very different conflict experiences. And that is an asset that we bring when it comes to trainings. So eventually, when it was all said and done, the two of us did the training together.
What do you think would have happened if you had just sort of been like, well, I guess they don't want me, and I don't blame them because Amanda's great. You know, my partner's awesome. She'll give them a great training. You know, this was a long shot. What do you think would have been the outcome if you had kind of just gone that direction rather than kind of trying to lean in and show them who you were and try to better understand and address their concerns?
Sure. Well, for one, personally, I would have been disappointed in myself because that was an opportunity to have healthy, good conflict. This is the work that I live and breathe and work to do as much as possible. Absolutely. And granted, I don't succeed all the time. And there are times when I do ruminate and I am telling those stories and creating these alternate narratives. But I would have been disappointed in myself first, because that would have been a missed opportunity. And also, the training that we did was just a beautifully challenging project. And there were stories that we were able to share from our lives with this group of just, I mean, really incredible humans doing work that I cannot fathom being able to have the ability to do. And it's given us the ability to think about ways in which we can help and serve people in other ways in the future that we hadn't thought about before.
I'd love to talk about questions with you for just a moment, because, you know, the investigation piece that we so often skip over because we're feeling insecure, because we just want to bail out, or because this is just so deeply uncomfortable, being able to stay in that moment, stay curious, like, involves asking questions, but asking the right kinds of questions. So what are some of your favorite phrasings of questions to be able to stay in that place and turn a conflict scenario into something productive?
Sure. I would say just as important, if not more important than the questions, would be the listening that goes along with the asking of the questions.
Right.
Because to do so, to listen and to ask questions genuinely, that requires a genuine posture of humility. We are talking like low to no ego. To be able to do this in a way to really want to understand, when we're in a high conflict, tense situation where we feel that we're being attacked, or there's something about our identity, our views, the way that we see it, we move in this world, is just being judged or characterized in a particular way, that is deeply hurtful and painful. But if we're able to get into a place of, okay, this is not about me. I really first need to make sure I'm understanding where this other person is coming from. When we can get to that, we're able to listen differently. We're able to ask questions in a way that the other person feels as though we're not interrogating them, but instead we're coming from a place of genuine curiosity. And then what happens is that will lower their guard and they'll feel much more open and willing to respond. And then that helps us get a clearer picture of where they're coming from, and maybe, just maybe, creates the space necessary for them to be able to hear where we're coming from as well. And so I just wanted to start with that, because I think the listening is so incredibly critical. And so we talk about how in good conflict, when we ask a question, it's, you know, one question that that I love is, imagine if this issue were completely changed, like this problem that you have, like you wake up tomorrow morning and it's suddenly fixed. How would you know? How would they be reporting on this if it were solved and you turn on the news, or you turn on your favorite podcast, or you read your favorite paper? And then you listen, and then you reflect back what you're hearing. Oh, so it sounds like you wouldn't feel like you were being demonized. And it feels like it wouldn't seem to you as though the beliefs that you hold so dearly and that are so important to you aren't being attacked. Is that right? And so that's a question that I like to ask. Another one is, what do you believe about what the other side has to say on this issue? So if there is a particular issue, like what do they have right about this? Because it gives them a chance, like you want to talk about dissonance, like it gives them a chance to like lean into, oh, you know what? It kind of opens and expands their way of thinking. And it helps to break that both sides, you know, the us versus them way of thinking. And that really does, it's a question that attempts to break that and to get them to expand their views and their ways of thinking. Because we fall into that trap all too easily. The us versus them.
Ellen Biondutihofer is a journalist, a filmmaker, and she's co-creator of the consulting firm Good Conflict. They have a new masterclass available for the public right now. It's online. You can find it at thegoodconflict.com. Ellen, it's been so great speaking with you. Thank you so much for your time today and for sharing your stories.
Well, Julie, thank you for this. Thank you for this conversation and for what you do.
And thank you for getting uncomfy with us today. I'd love to hear your thoughts on what Hélène was teaching us there. And if you had an experience where you have successfully or not leaned into the discomfort of a moment where you felt challenged, I'd love to hear about it. Email me at uncomfy@byu.edu or find me on social media and we can connect. And be sure to check out my other podcast, Top of Mind. Every episode, we are trying to complicate the narrative, as Hélène was describing, around a specific tough topic. We're looking for perspectives that will surprise us. We're looking for people who've had a change of heart on a specific issue so we can understand how people's positions are shaped and help us better understand the way we see those issues so that we can be better advocates and kinder neighbors and more engaged citizens. You can find Top of Mind on all the podcast platforms. I'd love to have you add that to your listening queue. Uncomfy is a BYU Radio podcast. Samuel Benson produces it, and the team includes Anike Prado, James Hoops, and Sam Payne. Our theme music was composed by Kelsey Ney. I'm Julie Rose. Can't wait to get uncomfy with you again next week. Hey friends, if you are on the lookout for another awesome podcast, check out Constant Wonder. It's also from the BYU Radio Network. It's hosted by my friend Marcus Smith, and it is like embarking on an exhilarating journey through captivating stories about our magnificent natural world. As you listen, you'll gain profound insights into different facets of our planet. You'll discover more about nature. I've learned about whales and bees and nematodes from listening to Constant Wonder. And you might even find yourself pondering your own connection to the wonders of this earth. So, wherever you usually get your podcasts, do yourself a favor and go check out Constant Wonder from BYU Radio.